Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt it, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Try some new Minute Maid orange tangerine. It's got calcium.
Then I'm not drinking it.
Oh, no, it's sweet. You'll like it.
I don't believe you.
Well, then who would you believe?
I don't know, Robert Loggia. Whoa, Robert Loggia.
Billy, your mother's right. New Minute Maid orange tangerine tastes great. It's got as much calcium as milk.
If you say so, Mr. Loggia.
Yeah.
This is great.
Enjoy your breakfast.
New Minute Maid orange tangerine with calcium.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Did Loggia die?
No. I just love that commercial. It's one of my all-time greatest ones.
I think Robert left us a while ago.
Yeah, he's been dead for like 5 years or so.
Yeah.
I think.
I can't believe I didn't have more of a handle on that.
Did you ever see Lost Highway, that David Lynch movie with Robert Loggia? It has one of the all-time greatest Loggia scenes. He's just driving real calmly on the highway, and he's talking to this guy, you know, very calmly, and this car starts tailing him, and Robert Loggia just all of a sudden gets pissed and rams the guy off the road. And then, you know what? I might actually have this right here. This is one of the all-time great scenes.
Don't you
Ever.
Do you know how many car lengths it takes to stop a car at 35 miles an hour? Six car lengths. That's 106 feet, mister. If I had to stop suddenly, you would have hit me. I want you to get a driver's manual. I want you to study that mother. And I want you to obey the goddamn rules. 15,000 people were killed on the highway last year because of this. Like you!
Sorry. This guy's just tailing him. Robert Loggia just calmly goes, pardon me. And he just puts his seatbelt on and just rams the guy off the road, pulls him out of the car, and just beats him within an inch of his life.
I think everyone's fantasized about that.
Oh, sure. Well, Loggia pulled it off in that movie.
I'll tell you what. An art imitates life. That's how the man was taken from us in a road rage accident. How is this Wallach thing going? That's for tomorrow. This contest,
good
Wallach.
Good. We wanted to move it back a day because for a couple of reasons. One, because you were just coming back today, and there were a couple of things we wanted to go over with you before it started. And on top of that, we're all set. Yeah, I mean the contest is pretty much ready to go. We have to figure out who our final contestant is going to be after the show, but one of the people is going to be Billy Lanny, who's going to be taking on John Wallach.
So who knew?
He has a huge love for all things 90s New Jack hip hop and R&B, so he will be in here for that.
Was that a uniquely Boston thing based on the new edition?
I don't
based
know
on end. Maurice Starr, did he do something to the people of Boston?
He hypnotized all of us for a while to spend money on albums and CDs. Yes,
because I think that you could do this other places. You know, Billy Lanny would not have that knowledge. Looking at you and Billy Lanny, you don't seem like the kind of guys.
Correct.
Like, you're not wearing ascots. And, you know, you're not wearing leather vests with no shirts on underneath them, which was a preferred look at the time.
I actually did that.
You did?
Yeah.
You had a leather vest for, you know?
Yep. And no shirt?
Yep. See if I can find a picture. I actually did that. It was a look that was not flattering.
That's like the R. Kelly, like, early albums look.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
No, yeah. It's everybody. Charles Oakley used to do it.
Well, early 20s. Let's see if I can find a picture. Let's see if I can bring that in.
So the idea was that...
Seriously.
So you were like... You were, you know what, deep into...
I was into it, yeah.
Into the whole thing. So how many times did you pull off that outfit?
Not often.
Okay.
Not often.
Where would you go in that outfit?
I actually think I went out on a Friday or a Saturday night sporting that look, thinking that that would get me...
Oh, I've done... Believe me.
And that, of course, failed miserably, as you would expect.
Yes.
Because that was about 20 pounds ago, so you can imagine the way it looked.
You got to... Well, I mean, I'm sure it would look great whenever stage you're in. But did you have any gold?
No. Did not have the gold. And looking back on it, I really needed it. You know, because I would have completed the look. I only went halfway.
Yeah, you
can't wear the leather vest without the shirt and not have the gold that, you know, it's incomplete.
Where would you go? Like, what kind of, like, clubs, bars would you go to?
I remember going to, it was downtown. It was called the Sweetwater Cafe. I don't know if it's there anymore. It's in the theater district. And those people who grew up here know where it is. It's a bar, and it's not there anymore. I don't think it's there anymore.
Dan wants to know if you went to Zanzibar.
No, I did not go to Zanzibar.
Now fill me in. This is a club that is
No, it was
now
a bar.
Gone.
It was just a bar. There was a club right next to it that I forget. It had like four or five different names. But yeah, I did that at least twice that I can remember.
Did you go in? Because I was a failure on the dance floor. I would always
massive failure.
Would you
on the
go
dance
to the dance floor and start like grinding and like like I want to stroke you?
That's right. That's a puffy shirt. Went to it. It's true.
Well, that was my preferred look. Is that I would wear the ruffled look. I would get my hair a little Dutch boy action. Get the beard. Just so.
Yeah.
And then get out there in rock and pirate style.
No.
Okay, so did you ever do the facial hair? Did you ever try to groom your facial hair?
I had a beard when I was younger, but I didn't grow in. I learned very quickly that non-beard was better than beard.
No, if you want to go back to Color Me Bad, no pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah. No, you see, I wish I could have pulled that off. No.
Yeah, I tried many things as well. I tried many ways of seduction.
Did you ever get the pirate shirt?
No, I did not have the puffy shirt.
That.
No, did not have the puffy shirt.
Okay. All right. Well, did you have an 8-ball jacket?
No, I remember though looking at that and going, you know, but I never followed through. I never.
How about the Africa thing? The leather Africa.
I would hope that you didn't do that.
Well, no,
I knew guys. Brand Nubian.
I knew guys in my school who would do that.
I know, but for a white kid from the suburbs, I'm thinking that probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah,
over
that was
too
for
well.
A very specific subset of African Americans.
Yeah, no.
That was the Brand Nubian.
A white kid from Lexington wearing that jacket probably wouldn't have gone over.
It's like the medallion, like the leather medallion with Africa. with the colors of the flag on.
Right. I had a guy that I knew at my high school, and he was white, and he would wear one of those.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he would
man.
Wear that. Yeah,
Now, what was he like? That's like young black teenagers from House Party 2. It was like bean pie black.
That's right. Pajama Jammy Jam.
That was the Pajama Jammy Jam.
Yeah.
And the guy from, the guy from that rap group with the dreadlocks. Young black teenagers. He was in it. And they had to go, hey, you're a good guy.
Right.
But you got to stop fronting. You know,
sure.
All right, Jim Irsay is on the phone. Hello, Jim Irsay.
Hey, Fred, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Jim? How are you doing?
Hey, Fred, man, is Rich there?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
How's it going, Jim Irsay?
Is Wallace there?
Yeah, he's here.
What's up?
Hey, Wallace, what's up, man?
What's going on?
You guys fired up?
We are fired up
every day.
Yeah,
every
we
day,
are.
Coming in
I heard
hot.
You talking about the 90s, man.
Yeah,
we were.
What's going on, guys?
Okay, if you saw, we're talking about the 90s. If you saw the cast of Living Single, I don't know if I'm stretching in here. What would you say to the cast of Living Single?
Oh, man, you know, I tell them, like, I guess they kind of fit the spot behind Martin, kind of all right, but, like, Martin was my jam, man.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You did love that.
Yeah, I was a nay-nay guy.
Right, sure. That was nothing funnier
right, thank you,
than Martin
it.
Lawrence dressing up his nay-nay.
Hey, you fired up?
I was worried that was going to peter out after 30 seconds, but he squeezed another 30 out of it.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
I thought if he said what was up with the cast of Living Single that he might say, like, what's up, hey,
what's
cast
up?
Of Living Single?
Sweetwater is now in an Emerson dorm.
Oh, okay.
And the bar next door was the Big Easy. That's
yep,
what somebody
said. Sounds right. Yep.
And that was where you used to roll.
I tried the vest with no shirt look twice that I can remember. There. Yes.
Okay, what kind of cool shoes did you wear, British Knights?
Oh, God. I don't
see Adams?
I don't know. The BKs would have finished it, though. That's true.
That was the finishing move.
That would have been it. I didn't have the gold and I didn't have the BKs. That was the reason I failed. That was it.
No, did you have, because you wouldn't have worn BKs with that, did you have Maury Gator shoes? Did you have anything Gator?
I don't even know what that is, honestly.
It's alligator skin.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't have that.
Because that was big at the time, too.
No.
If you had Maury alligator shoes, alligator with the big gold, like,
okay,
Hatchdler. Clip or whatever the hell it's called.
No, did not have that.
All right. Well, you were
I said, the look was very incomplete. I think that was the reason that I whiffed.
Did you roll with a group of friends who wore the same kind of stuff you
No,
did?
I think it was just me that night, actually.
you just went by yourself?
No. I was the only one wearing that. I was the only one wearing that. Other people dressed normally. I did not.
Did you have puffy pants? You definitely did.
I think I did, yeah.
Because if you're going vest, you definitely
do. Yeah, I don't know. You can't wear, like, tough skins. That doesn't work.
You wear thin, puffy pants.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to check and see if I have a picture of that.
Do you have any skids?
No.
These are different. These are divergent.
No.
Skids and British Knights are over here.
I'm just like, we're all over the map here in this segment here. Right?
All I know is those things were for sale in the stores that I didn't go to when I was a kid. Okay. Right around the same time.
Well, I tried many, many things to try to get laid and failed miserably. There's no more awkward time in your life than being single at 23 and trying to go out and get laid.
But honestly, you had the puffy pants and the vest with no shirt at like 159 pounds. And it doesn't really translate into ooh la la.
It's not like these guys. Some of these guys, Tony, weren't exactly weightlifters.
No, but somehow they looked good, and I did not.
Because these R&B songs gave you the idea that this is what women want.
Everybody's a champion, dripping with sex appeal.
And that's right.
And you find out very quickly that's not the case.
Yeah, did you ever have a novelty cane?
No.
That is in the genre.
That's like Boys to Men's backup, Boys to Men's singer, right? At the cane?
Almost every one of those bands had more than four guys. Four or more, one of them almost always had a cane.
And the guy for third base had that too, right?
R. Kelly had a cane.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the guy from third base, Prime Minister Pete.
Yes.
Who now is one of the largest baseball memorabilia collections outside of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's been in studio. MC Hammer had a hit out on them. For making fun of him.
Hmm.
It all comes full circle. All right, Rich, we have the What Happened Last Night coming up. So much happened last night.
Yep, we got Red Sox news and a little bit out of actually some kind of interesting theories about what the Celtics are going to do here in the offseason involving Kyrie Irving.
Yes, I saw that as well.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
It was every player gets a hit day at Fenway Park.
High fly, left center, headed for the wall, rising up, and it is off the green. Leon in to score, another extra base hit for the scalding hot Andrew Benintendi, who drives in his 38th run.
That is Nesson, and everyone in the batting order got a hit in yesterday's 8-3 win over Toronto, although some had more hits than others, like Sandy Leon, who notched two doubles and a two-run homer. On top of that, you had Xander Bogaerts with a salami as well, Fred, and it was also a night where Rick Porcello came back to taking care of business.
Swing and a miss, and Pillar goes down hacking.
I think he's kind of been breezing along a high slide. He doesn't want it up there, but it worked. No contact.
So Rick Porcello looked pretty good. He lasted 6 2/3 innings, allowing just 5 hits and 2 earned runs. And with yesterday's win, the Red Sox remain the best team in baseball with a 38-17 record. Dan, what were you saying yesterday? You said if they just are 500,
they're 500 the rest of the season, they'll win, I think, 90 or 91 games.
Yeah, they're 21 games over 500.
Okay.
So, yeah, 92-70 is 20. Yeah, so right around 91.
Wow, that is impressive. Well, they've won 8 of the last 10. Here's Rick Porcello on getting back in track.
Tonight, a lot more under control. Guys swung the bats well. Made some great plays. The game was under control.
And Alex Cora, for one, knows that when team hits the way that they did last night, they are a tough team to beat.
Good all-around effort. Put pressure on them. A few hit and runs. Ran the base as well. At the end, obviously, Xander hits a big home run. And then Sandy with the game. Kind of close. He put a good at bat there. He fouled off a few tough pitches, and then he got a hanging changeup and stayed through it.
So, John, have you had that moment yet? The moment where when both of the teams, the Bruins and the Celtics, are out of the playoffs, where you just sit down and you're finally like, all right,
Now's where I finally get all in.
That was last night.
That was last night.
That
was your day?
That was last night. I actually watched the game last night. That last night was the first game I sat down like, okay, I'm going to watch the Red Sox. That was last night. Yep. And I got to be honest with you, I'm amazed at how good they are. They are 38-17. That represents the second best 55-game start in franchise history. The only team better than that was in the last 100 years is 1946, and they won 104 games. And that the Red Sox have only won 100 games three times in franchise history, none after 1946. This team's on pace to win 110, 111
He's going full Kirchin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should have done it in the Kirchin voice. That's my mistake.
That's right.
That's my mistake. Everybody gets a hit in this lineup. It's really unbelievable how good they are. Mitch Moreland's hitting in third in this lineup, and they still continue to roll. What a genius Alex Cora is massaging egos back and forth. This team doesn't have the straight talent that the Yankees do, but man, is Cora just a great gentleman of a manager.
And I'm just shocked that you were so into it that you missed out on Anything Is Possible, the story of the 2008 Celtics.
I'm really upset because I was so enthralled with baseball last night, I completely forgot it was on.
You got to see Big Baby just look like he didn't know what planet he was on.
Did he fit in the chair they put him in?
It was tough.
I can only imagine.
Did they bring up the trouble that he's in?
No. We will get into some of the clips from that show. I mean, it was... Listen, I watched... It's funny because I had forgotten it was on as well, and I wanted to go online and see if they had it, but they just have, like, what seems like the entire special done in these 3-minute clips that they've put over on the NBC Sports Boston website. And the two things you immediately notice are, number one, Big Baby doesn't know what planet he's on. And number two, Eddie House just saying, I'm just wearing a South Park hoodie.
That's great.
So it just shows up like, yeah. And some of the guys aged a little better, a little more gracefully than others. Big Baby just... The dude is...
So are these clips
focused? Might be tweaking.
Are they very Big Baby heavy?
I think they're almost all Big Baby.
Well, that's what it's exciting news. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Big Baby can't stop fidgeting and moving around the whole time.
I'm thinking that Glenn Davis might have...
Some problems
rolling through that system.
Well, I think that just from the
what did they have to pay to get him there? I'm thinking Baby didn't show up for free. They offered him a free meal or something. I mean,
that was the private plane.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. The tiny one where he was made that video. No. I think everybody but Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett from that team was interviewed. I mean, they got
Garnett's got TV, right? I mean, he's doing some things. I'm sure there was some scheduling conflict. I don't know what Ray Allen was doing. I don't think that book... You think it was the book tour that kept him out of the filming?
No,
I don't think so.
No, it's that he's bitter and doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, he'll never get over all those that weirdness that happened at the end of his time here. I mean, the guy's still butthurt. We've seen that with his book tour.
Well, that's a fairly big chunk of that team.
Well,
not getting them involved. Garnett and Allen, I mean, that's a fairly big blow to the... whole documentary.
Well, I mean, sure, there's definitely parts that they could have spent a little more time on because of those two guys, but having Pierce and Doc Rivers and Danny Ainge was huge. And I could listen to Kendrick Perkins talk all day. Like, Kendrick Perkins might have been my favorite person. Just to legit hear him tell a story. Like, that guy's like fascinated by everything. Man, it was just the greatest thing I've ever seen. I never felt nothing like that before. And the way he talks, it's like his eyes are wide. I love Kendrick Perkins.
He's also an enormous human being.
Kendrick Perkins might win a ring.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
true.
His team's still playing, and technically he would win a ring, right?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
He's inactive. But
but he is on the roster for the Cleveland Cavaliers, unless you believe, of course, Vegas, who says that they have no shot of winning. So, speaking of the Boston Celtics, with them now looking at the offseason a week or so earlier than they had hoped, Danny Ainge obviously has some decisions to make. Now, we all know about the Marcus Smart situation, but the one that might even be more concerning this offseason is that of Kyrie Irving. Now, yesterday, Fred, we talked about this a little bit because during Game 7, you know, I hate that I actually agreed with Mark Jackson, but Mark Jackson made a point saying that, you know, where is Kyrie Irving? How come he's not on the bench? You know, if there's any game that he could be somewhat of a help for, it would be one against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 7. He might notice something that they're doing, and he could tell somebody. Either way, he should probably be there. So we learned from Danny Ainge that he was getting surgery for a deviated septum,
And even with that, it just that sounded
like why right now?
Yeah, why right now? Yeah. And also, you know, you can show up to the game. I mean, you know, even with like a bandage on your face. I mean, it's not like you get surgery for deviated septum and you're completely out of commission and not able to do that. But more than anything, Fred, is the point where you could just move it around. So there was speculation as to whether or not he actually wanted to be there. If for some reason his old team was to win, maybe he wouldn't be able to take that, or it wouldn't look good, or he wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't know what the situation is. It just seemed odd. But the one thing about Kyrie Irving is that we know that he'll be an unrestricted free agent after next season and will probably get a decent amount of money if he hits the open market. So you would hope that the Celtics would try to make some sort of effort to lock him up before he reaches free agency. However, he can't make as much money with an extension as he would if he made it all the way to free agency.
The extension starts at $24 million, ends with $29.9 million. Free agent with the Celtics would be $32.4 million. And ended 42.8, and free agent with a new team 32 to 37.
Right. So the way he would make the most money is if he went to free agency and then re-signed with the Celtics.
Right.
However, Cedric Maxwell yesterday was saying that maybe this season or this offseason, when Danny might try to reach out to Kyrie Irving, that Kyrie's going to be, nope, I'm going to sit this one out.
I don't know where Kyrie is going to stand on this. I know he's happy to be here. He loves being here. But that thing comes back over and over again. Like, show me the money. Show me the money. Because, I mean, in at the end of the day, as a player, sometimes you measure championships and you also measure your bank accounts.
It makes you nervous if you're Danny Ainge. But you also realize that Kyrie Irving is not he's not stupid. I mean, he'd essentially be taking a hometown discount.
No, you're not going to do that.
You're not going to do that, but...
But wait, so the idea would be he wouldn't play at all?
No. Not that he wouldn't play. Is that he wouldn't sign any sort of extension. It's still enough to make somebody like Danny Ainge nervous.
Yeah, you wouldn't engage in any talks specifically because he can maximize his dollars by technically going to free agency before
he's
signing.
Right.
No, he's... there's no reason for him to sign early.
Especially when
the question is, though, I mean, a lot can happen between now and then. The question is he still going to want to be here? I mean, a lot of things can happen. Just because the Celtics have that great roster doesn't mean they're going to go to the finals. A lot of things, a lot of intangibles, a lot of weird stuff happens. Injuries happen. But I think it's going to be a tense time for Danny if he wants to keep the core of this team intact. But that's the way Kyrie's got
to
play.
He stands to make close to $80 million more if he stays with the Celtics and doesn't sign the extension. And he's going to make about $48 million if he signs with the Celtics instead of going to a new team. So it seems to me that if you want Kyrie Irving, you have Kyrie Irving.
But then again, we also know that Kyrie Irving is a strange person and at any given time could say, well, maybe that money doesn't matter to me. I want to go to a different situation.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, you would hope not.
I don't think that's going to happen.
What's a better situation?
The money matters.
Well, the Sixers. I mean, they're obviously run very well by people who are very competent. The
Sixers are going to sign LeBron, according to Chris Broussard.
According to what happened yesterday, I don't know if I'd want anything to do with that.
That's a good point.
According to Broussard, there's no dinosaurs.
That's
all
true.
Right, we will return, Rich, to what we discuss.
Maybe we should touch on this. Do we touch on it now, or do we wait a little bit?
I think there's enough that we can do two breaks.
All right. The Sixers are a mess. And yesterday, The Ringer came out with an expose about Brian Colangelo, the president of basketball operations there, which has basically just made everybody pissed off, and including Joel Embiid yesterday, who was having a little fun on Twitter, kind of fun, but not so much fun. That guy has a job by the end of the week, I'll be surprised.
All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there is a little bit of trouble happening there in Philadelphia.
This is so strange. And once again, it's just, I mean, we saw two stories yesterday about how Twitter can end your career or at least get you into a lot of trouble. And in this case, it was Brian Colangelo, who is the president of basketball operations for the 76ers. And in February, somebody from The Ringer got an anonymous tip that Brian Colangelo had been using secretly 5 burner Twitter accounts that were registered under different names other than his. And they all had these weird names like Philo 1234567. There was a guy whose name was Eric Jr., Honest Abe,
enough known sources and still balling. This is a person who does not have very good imagination when coming up with fake names, it sounds like.
Still balling? Wasn't taken?
No, still balling, not taken. He's still, well, I mean, maybe still balling with a G was, but he was just with an N. Balling.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been around the game for a long time. He knows how to make things a little shorter.
So what happened was, in order, and it was, this was kind of a genius way that the Ringer tried to find out whether or not this was him. So they knew of these five different Twitter accounts that could have been him, that the source told them that they believed that he was tweeting from. And so they contacted Brian Colangelo and said, hey, we've been told that you are working with two burner accounts. And he gave him the names of two of them. And he wanted to see what would happen to the three that he didn't mention when he threw that out there. And sure enough, after he sent that email, the other three were immediately put on private. So that gives you the assumption that, okay, well, all five of these are definitely probably from the same guy.
Which was brilliant by Colangelo. Yeah. That was exactly what you want to do.
I know. He was extremely smart.
Yeah. And just put him to private. Mm-hmm. Nothing to see here.
So after that email was sent, a representative from the Sixers called back the guy from the Ringer, and he confirmed that one of the accounts did, in fact, belong to Colangelo. He said that he denied any knowledge of any of the other accounts. And when he was asked whether he discussed the inquiry with anyone else in the organization, they said no, they'd only speak to Colangelo. And so the next day, the team put out a statement from Colangelo that said, quote, like many colleagues in sports, I've used social media as a means to keep up with the news. While I've never posted anything whatsoever on social media, I have used that one account referenced in this story to monitor our industry and other current events. The storyline is disturbing to me on many levels, as I am not familiar with any of the other accounts that have been brought to my attention, nor do I know who's behind them or what motives they may be in using them. Okay, so what's the big deal about all of this? Well, maybe it's because on all of those other accounts, he ripped in to not only members of the organization of the Sixers, but players. On top of that, disclosing non-public medical information about Jahlil Okafor and gossip about Joel Embiid and Markelle Fultz to members of the national and Philadelphia media. On top of that, one of the accounts telegraphed the 2017 trade, which the Sixers acquired that number one overall pick, you know, with Danny Ainge. Also, he publicly debated the decisions of his own coaching staff, as well as the general manager, Sam Hinkie, and also the president of basketball operations for the Toronto Raptors. And the other thing is, he just ripped on Joel Embiid, Joel Okafor, or Jahlil Okafor, and Nerlens Noel.
Plus, he defended his choice in shirt collars.
Well, that was the other thing. So, like, someone would make fun of Colangelo's collars, and he'd be like, that's just a classic collar. Move on to something else to make fun of.
All right, so was he putting out, like, okay, so here's what I found confusing is, one, there's a DM that he had with another guy, which I don't know how you would DM someone unless you both followed each other.
You can. And
you can DM someone without following them?
Yeah, there's a setting that you can put on there. As a matter of fact, I didn't know about that until about like 3 months ago, and now I get like a million DMs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I thought you had to, but you don't have to anymore.
All right, do you like that you get a million DMs?
I like that people can have a way of contacting us. I do like that.
Okay. So, and then was he sending out many, many, many tweets, or were these just here and there?
Oh, no, there's a lot.
Okay, so this goes into play with my documentary that I want to make. That if that, this means, and he hired an analytics guy, they asked an analytics guy to compare all these accounts together.
And that's how they found it. It was an analytics guy who saw that these five accounts were not only following the same type of people, but like, each one also was following this certain Canadian basketball team in which he had a family member.
Right, his son played for.
Yeah, his son played for.
Yeah, and then this, you know, people that he was in business with that were not related to anything. So, yeah, so it is true that you can find out who's running the burner account.
Yep.
As I've known for some time, you can find out who's doing the burner account, and especially if they have more than one, you can triangulate. You see?
Has anyone ever found out that somebody they knew had a burner account and were saying things about, this is fascinating to me. The world of burner accounts is completely fascinating, because there's some people who have them and they don't know that I know, and they're people in the industry, and it's hysterical, because then you get to see what they say and you sit back and it's like, all right, well, I know what this guy really means.
How do you know who has the burner account?
Oh, I found out. I mean, there's
ways
that I found
out. How come this information has never been shared with me?
Because I don't want anyone to know. Because I want this person to continue doing what they're doing.
Wait, you wouldn't
so I know
tell
exactly
me?
What they feel. No, I'm not telling anybody. No, I don't want anyone to know.
See, I'm curious now, too.
Yeah, no, there's people in the industry. I understand that. I understand that. But there are people that I, it cracks me up knowing that I know that these people have burner. And boy, there's a ton of people who do. And I only know like one or two people here. I don't, actually, I know two.
Here at the station?
No, no, no. Here in the media, like in local Boston media.
So you would literally not tell me?
No. Nope.
Your partner in radio, you would not tell me.
Nope, not telling anybody. Not telling anyone at all. Because I want this person to continue doing what they're doing.
But what would I do? I wouldn't tell anybody.
I don't understand that. I just, I like knowing that this person's doing this because they criticize us a lot.
It's a breach of trust here.
And this is somebody that I know.
That's how I see it.
John, don't you think it's weird that Rich won't tell me?
It's a breach of trust. You guys have worked together over a decade. You've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he has certainly earned your trust. And the fact that you won't tell him, I find very curious.
Yep, it is curious.
So you really wouldn't tell me?
No. Nope.
Even though it affects both of us?
Nope, I wouldn't tell you. Nope. It doesn't. Well, it's good. It's good. It affects us in a good
so
way.
So why we can can't see I really see it?
It's not going to affect the person who's doing it.
Yeah.
That other person's still not going to know that you know.
Yeah, and if why should you have that information and not me?
Because I found it.
How'd you find it?
Well, I mean, that is, once again,
sources.
Something that,
here we go.
You know? I would know. Insider tips. Maybe I have an algorithm expert who has emailed me, much like the guy from The Ringer. No,
wait,
no.
So this you is... legitimately would not tell me?
No. No, not telling anyone.
Anyone else find this odd and a little offensive?
I'm on record. You heard what I just said.
That's like offensive.
Why are you offended?
Because
why do you need to know?
If it's someone attacking the show, I'm part of the show too. I'm mm-hmm. half the show.
Yes.
But and then it also means that you don't trust me.
No, it's mean. I just want to keep it to myself. I like it knowing that it's there. I like. There's a lot of stuff that I just want. I don't want it out there.
But it's not out there. It's just to me.
Understood. Understood. Maybe I would tell you at the right place, but I wouldn't tell you at work.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, the walls have ears here.
No, fair.
That's
no,
true.
I didn't ask you.
It's not that I would never tell you. It's
okay,
that it's,
all right.
It's fair that,
enough.
There's
fair enough. Fair enough. And by the way, I'll forget that this even happened. But, okay, yeah, as long as you tell, I understand not telling me at work, believe me. Oh, boy.
You know me, I don't talk about anything at work.
No, you got, but believe me, I know there's people here at work that turn around and tell people, I don't know why.
Well, sure.
It's so counterproductive to what's going on here.
But it is true. And almost, I mean, and I got to think that in any industry that people are working in, there's people who have these fake burner accounts. Has anyone had an experience where they have found out somebody they worked with or somebody they know had a fake account set up where they were ripping on them, and then they were busted? Because it's so easy to get busted. It happens all the time.
So what's so the point?
You're going to have a situation like Kevin Durant who forgets
right.
to change his profile, and he ends up tweeting. What did he do? He ended up tweeting from the fake account something that Kevin Durant was trying to tweet, or
yeah.
and he got busted.
So the point of the account is that I create this account and I attack people that I don't like.
You say the things that you want out there, but you don't want to be the one on record to say. So, like,
but how would anyone know that it was out there? Like, if you have no followers and no one knows who you are,
well,
other than to like nudge the person that you don't like,
because these guys, like Coangelo did, he was tweeting people in the media, giving them ideas to possibly run with a story.
Oh,
like there was one.
Okay, the reason he gets got attention is because he was telling people in the media like inside information.
Yeah, like the Jahlil Okafor. Okay. Remember there was a trade that ended up not going through, and one of the writers was saying, well, he got a quote from Jahlil Okafor saying it was just a weird situation, and this fake account, Eric Jr., which we now know may or may not be the Coangelo, said, ask him if he passed the other team's physical. He will not say not to lose the other chance, but I bet the farm that's what happened. So
Coangelo
knew that that he had failed a physical, which was not public knowledge.
Right.
So he's throwing that out there.
Right. And so now if I'm in media and I see this, I become interested.
Yeah. And you're like,
and start following him and start talking to him.
I need to start asking some questions. And on top of that, there was an article that was written by one of the papers saying Brian Coangelo has been misleading, untrustworthy on injuries. And somebody put, this clown is going to ruin everything that Hinkie built. And then this guy, Eric Jr., who's Coangelo, said, clown, why? What did Hinkie build? My gosh, the biased insanity. And starts ripping on Hinkie, you know, the guy he works with. So on top of that.
At least he didn't say, my God.
He did not keep it clean.
Well, one of the theories is it's his kid that's doing this.
No, but then they kind of dismissed that in the Ringer article.
On top of, well, we did find out, who was the guy whose wife was tweeting from a burner account and just got in trouble. It was another basketball executive, and his wife was the one that was defending her husband's honor under a fake name.
I'll tell you this, Twitter. If you want to use it to get news, God bless you. And in fact, I have an account now to get news. I had to put it in because Rich sent me Paul Stanley stuff that I'd been missing out on. But I'm telling you, putting things on the internet.
So you're back on Twitter using a burner account.
Is it a burner account if you don't tweet? If you
use a fake name, yes.
Then I have a burner account.
Okay. Oh, you do? Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Could you follow it with your own Twitter?
I don't want to even have the point of me not having that Twitter account is to not get in trouble. Like, I don't need access to that. I don't need access to say something.
Okay.
Do you want to see my burner account?
No, I know. It's okay.
I'll show it to you.
See, this is in the spirit of sharing, you see.
Yeah.
The spirit of Fred sharing with Rich.
I'll show you my burner account.
Take note.
And then there's like...
Here is my burner account. You can...
You show it to me later. Just show it to me. I can't really see it from here.
Here. There you go.
All right.
I do not have zero followers.
Because to me, anybody on Twitter, you can contact me, you know, through Twitter.
I don't need that. I don't. Roseanne.
Goodell's wife. That's what it was. Okay. It was Roger Goodell's wife had the burner account, and that was exposed. That's the one.
I'll tell you. No, the main reason I don't use my Twitter account is that I don't want to get in trouble. Is that I don't want to say something off the top of my head and then have it come back and bite me in the ass.
So when we come back, Joel Embiid went through. Once the story broke, first of all, the first tweet was just him saying, bruh. That's all it said. B-R-U-H. And then after that, he started retweeting. He went through all of those burner accounts and retweeted anything that was critical of him. And they're bad. Like, they're really bad. So this Coangelo guy this morning is like... all of these people know that he's ripped on them.
That Twitter.
And so we'll get also on top of that, apparently Embiid got a call from Coangelo last night trying to save face.
All right. We'll have all that for you in just a second.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
GM of the 76ers caught with what is believed to be 5 burner accounts where he's been very critical of members of the team. Of people defending himself on there.
Like saying like medical stuff about some of the players that isn't common knowledge. I mean, think about that. I mean, if it is proven that he is the guy behind that, like he could get sued for leaking that out there. Like that's, I think, illegal what he did to have some confidential medical information.
HIPAA regulations, correct?
Right. So he could actually get sued for that. But on top of that, this morning, you have all of these people. I mean, you've essentially just like urinated on everyone that is inside your organization. Players, coaches, because there's a lot of stuff where he's extremely critical of the coaches as well. But yesterday, Joel Embiid, who I really, really like. I mean, the dude's funny as hell. And on Twitter yesterday, he went through and searched all of those Twitter accounts that were apparently set up by Coangelo and started retweeting them, such as, he goes, if I were management, I would step on a ladder and kick his blank, talking about Joel Embiid. It also said, alternative fact, Joel is not the future of the franchise, so who cares if he's not 100%? Let's exploit him. So there was a time where he was somewhat injured. When did he get injured and they continued to play him? And
Who are we talking about?
Yeah, Embiid. And they continued to play. I was reading. There's so many tweets that I'm sorry. They're all getting kind of bundled together.
They've done. I read that too, and I couldn't place it because the Sixers have been so cautious with him, not playing him on back-to-back days. And then it was the fractured eye socket. They took him out for longer than a lot of people thought he should be out.
And remember when he got injured and there was that video of him like out dancing?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
So this guy who is Coangelo or is being accused of being Coangelo, Eric Jr., said, too bad that Embiid danced like a fool and the whole disaster happened. Next time he'll think twice before mocking his team. Once again, Embiid going through and retweeting all of these yesterday. And so then he put out a tweet basically ripping on Coangelo. And since then, he has gotten a phone call where Coangelo has said, hey, it's not me. I swear it's not me. And to that, Embiid put, fun night on Twitter. All jokes aside, I don't believe the story. That would just be insane.
Well, the thing is, the only thing that's like a huge smoking gun is that he made all the other accounts private.
Well, that was brilliant by the guys from The Ringer
right.
to find out whether or not that was him. It was that he contacted him about two of them, only gave him the names of two of the five, and the other one just went dark all of a sudden.
Yeah, you could say that, because anyone could go up and they could make a Twitter account and like follow, with any kind of research for a public figure, like follow things that person may like.
Yeah.
As unlikely as that is to happen. But the idea that you get contacted about two of them and then make the other three private is A, exceptionally dumb.
Yeah.
And B, really speaks of your guilt.
Sure.
In this situation.
Now, I think a lot of these have been deleted since then. I think a lot of the tweets that were out there have since been deleted.
Making it eight times worse.
Yeah, yes. It's horrible.
Well, that's the thing, is it makes it ten times worse.
And so, Adrian Wojnarowski has reached out, and even he believes that this is more than likely him, but they're saying that this is going to be something that they would have to prove. I don't think you can get out of this. I think he's going to have to be fired.
This is
There's
amazing.
Too much evidence.
This is amazing to me. He's been an NBA executive for 20 years with Phoenix, with Toronto, and now with Philadelphia. And for him to lose his job over this is amazing to me, if it indeed happens. I mean, how does a guy... He's not taking over a team for a first time. Like, remember Scott Pioli took over Kansas City and completely lost his mind?
Because he went crazy Patriots on the
people.
I mean,
you could not understand it, but you can see it because he's in charge for the first time. He's doing a lot of stupid things his first time out. This is a guy who should be very comfortable in his job. He knows what he's doing.
Well, it's a guy who should be above all of this. I don't get what this accomplishes.
I don't okay. either.
So Gabriel Union, Gabriel Union is married to Dwayne Wade. And there was a story about Martellus Bennett, who did not attend the Super Bowl situation in the White House because he doesn't like Trump. And Gabriel Union retweeted and said, do you know that Tom Brady skipped it when President Obama was in the White House, or was it only a problem with Martellus? And so Eric Jr., Coangelo's assumedly fake account, said, I sat next to you and Dwayne Wade at Beijing Olympics and saw you both being rude and nasty to a little kid fan. Had to eat your pizza. So now people are trying to find out whether or not Coangelo was actually at this Olympic
event.
He's
a psychopath.
I mean,
oh my God.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah, of course he is. He's somebody who is obviously very, he wants to know what people think about him. He does not like people making fun of his collars.
I'm telling you, Twitter, all it can do is get you in trouble.
Well, we saw that yesterday with what's her name?
Roseanne.
Roseanne was on top of the world. She had like
the number one show in television.
24 hours later, all of it is gone. All right.